The Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and the verse 1. And I want to speak upon the subject, what if God does not intervene? What if God does not intervene? Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Jura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counsellors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counsellors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live for ever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace won 7 times more than it was wont to be heated, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in his haste, and spake, and said unto his counsellors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. The refusal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image was no easy or light matter. They were surrounded by many excuses and many reasons to the contrary. Everyone else had bowed. Even other fellow Israelites had yielded to the king's command. Therefore, why should they not do so? Everyone else had done so. It was only for a short time. It was a one-off action that would be over and done before they knew it, and it would have no lasting consequence. They were now in office, and they had to show political allegiance to the king. They would be justified in separating their private religion from their public duty. Refusal to bow to the image would mean certain death. What a waste of life! They would achieve more good by living than being cast into a fiery furnace and bringing a premature end to their lives. These men were surrounded by many excuses and many reasons, and no doubt well-meaning friends with good intentions presented these excuses to them in order to persuade them to bow to the image. Many reasons that seemed to justify a momentary compliance to the king's command. After all, they may bow to the image without worshipping it within their hearts. But as they yielded not to the image, so they yielded not to the multitude of the excuses and the reasons that were given to them. And therefore we are confronted with their decision. We're not confronted by the many Israelites who conformed, who complied, who compromised. Their names are unknown. Their action is not held up with esteem or in renown. But the action of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is recorded in everlasting remembrance and to the everlasting honour of their name. And therefore, we must ask today, what prompted them? What motivated them to shun all these excuses, to defy the king's command, and refuse to bow to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected? We have their own answer in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What a statement this is. It is a statement that reveals their faith, the very heart of their faith. And if you look closely at what these three men said on that occasion, you will discover exactly the kind of faith that they had. In the first place, they had a faith that believed in God's power to deliver them. The king's command defied the authority of God. It pertained to the realm of worship. They were commanded to worship an idol of man's making. The king's command intruded into the area of individual responsibility, the responsibility of the individual to worship God, his creator, only, and to worship him only. The king's command detracted from God's glory, the honour which he demands, and the glory that he is worthy of from every creature that he has made. Of that worship, God had expressly said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." He had expressly said, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to such an idol." They had a divine command to worship God and to give that worship to him in the way that he had ordained. And therefore, when they were challenged, when they were confronted with the king's command to bow to this golden image, they could not comply. They could not conform. They could not yield. For conscience' sake, there wasn't even a choice in the matter. They were under a divine obligation to worship their God, and they were under a divine restraint that forbade them giving homage to an idol, a graven image. And consequently, if refusing the king's command meant a fiery furnace, they were willing to receive that consequence. They could do none other. They were willing to receive that consequence in the firm persuasion that God was able to deliver them. They asserted their faith strongly. They said to the king, if it be so that we must be cast into this fiery furnace, then our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. They did not digress into discussing how, where, why, or when the deliverance would come. They simply asserted their faith that God is able to deliver us. What a faith they had in God's power, even when their actions would result in confrontation with the mightiest king upon the earth at that time. No mortal man is greater than God. No earthly king, no human government is greater than God. When earthly regimes set themselves on a collision course with God, when they confront and oppose his commands, God is able to deliver his people miraculously from the hands of men. This is the faith that these three Hebrews had, a faith that they asserted confidently. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. If ever there was a time when the Christian church needed to assert such a faith, it is today. We need to be able to say, in the face of every threat, in the face of every opposition, we need to be able to say like these men, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You can see their faith. Their faith was a faith that believed in the power of God, God's power to intervene God's power to act miraculously, to defend them, to deliver them in the course of faithful obedience and duty to their God. They believed in God's power. But you'll notice that their faith was also subject to God's will. There is an if in their reply. In fact, there are two ifs. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But then in verse number 18, they reply, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The reason for the if was due to the absence of a divine revelation of what God would do in this instance. The Lord had not told them what he would do. The Lord had not told them specifically that he would deliver them from the fiery furnace. They did not have a divine revelation for that specific matter, for that particular circumstance. They had no doubt as to the Lord's ability. He is able. But God had not given a specific revelation regarding delivering them from the fiery furnace. And therefore they added the second if. And if not, if he does not deliver us from the fiery furnace, if he will not deliver us from the fiery furnace. They added that if the insertion of those three words, but if not, was an indication of their submission to God's will. They did not allow their expectation in relation to God's power and God's intervention to rise beyond the boundary of God's will. Often this can be the case with the Lord's people. We can have expectations of what God can do, what God should do, but very often the Lord's people do not confine those expectations within the boundaries, the parameters of God's will. And therefore, when our expectations of what God should do are not realized, it leads to disappointment. And that disappointment can quickly descend into despair. There are many things that God can do. He can do all things consistent with his own nature, but it may not be his will to do so. A man may fall sick of a grievous disease, smitten down. He may be at the very point of death. The Lord can deliver him. The Lord can heal him. The Lord can put forth his gracious hand and miraculously touch that man and chase that disease away. The Lord can do that, but it may not be his will. The Lord can deliver his people from the fiery furnace, those fiery trials that are sent to try us and test us. The Lord can put the fire out immediately, but sometimes he does not. We must always remember and endeavour to keep our expectations of what God can do, what God is able to do. We must keep those expectations within the parameters of God's will. That's what these men were indicating when they spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. They believed that God was able to deliver them, but they recognized in the absence of a specific divine revelation that they must submit their expectation to the will of God. But if not, in other words, if it is not his will to deliver us miraculously, to intervene in a powerful way, if it is not his will, then be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These men had a faith that was subject to the will of God. They believed in the sovereign will of God, the sovereignty of God's will, and they submitted their expectations to God's sovereign will. And what a vital lesson that is for every Christian, for the Christian life, that we learn to place limitations upon our expectations. We should not limit the Lord, but we should place limitation upon our expectation. We must always confine our expectation of God within the parameters of His sovereign will, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. But there's one final dimension of their faith that is highlighted here. They had a faith that placed God's honour above their very life. But if not, then we will not bow to your idol. We will not disobey our God. We will honour Him, even if it means our death. Obedience to God's word was not an optional extra. It was not dependent upon what they would gain by it in this life. God's honour was first and foremost. God's honour was more important than life itself. How many put their own comfort, their own ease, their own preservation before and above the honour of God? Their language is altogether different from the language of these three Hebrew men. They say, yes, God can deliver us, but if not, then we will not be submitted or subjected to any hardship. We will not have ourselves put out. We will bow. We will conform. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 speaks of those who loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their lives unto death. They placed the honour of God, the glory of God, over and above life itself. That's exactly what these three Hebrew men did. They honoured God. They loved not their lives unto death. They would not bow. They would not disobey God's word. And therefore they were cast into the furnace. But in honouring the Lord honoured them. And we read these words concerning Nebuchadnezzar in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counsellors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Notice there the reference to the binding of these men. Their conformity to God's word caused them to be bound by the hands of men. And you'll notice that when they were in the midst of the furnace, the king said, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, free. Men had bound them, but in obeying the Lord, they had perfect liberty. They had perfect freedom. Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Lord came Himself, and He stood in the midst of the fiery furnace. The Lord walked with them according to His wonderful promise, which He gave in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord fulfilled His promise. The Lord stood with them, and they experienced the Lord in the midst of the fiery furnace. The Lord honored them who honored him. It is time for the Christian church to live by faith, to put its faith into practice. Stop living and acting by fear or in response to fear. It is time to trust God. It is time to exhibit the faith of these Hebrew men. God is able, and if not, if it is His will not to intervene in such a miraculous way, then we will not bow to the commands of men that require us to disobey the Word of God and to defy the God of heaven. We will not bow. We will take whatever the consequences may be, but we will honor God in the confidence that those who honor Him, He has pledged, He has promised to honor Himself. But if not, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.